This is the reading for May 9th. Psalm 129. They have treated me badly all my life. They have treated me badly all my life, but they have not defeated me. Like farmers plowing, they plowed over my back, making long wounds. But the Lord does what is right. He has set me free from those wicked people. Let those who hate Jerusalem be turned back in shame. Let them be like the grass on the roof that dries up before it has grown. There is not enough of it to fill a hand or to make into a bundle to fill one's arms. Let those who pass by them not say, "May the Lord bless you. We bless you by the power of the Lord." 1 Samuel chapter 19. Saul told his son Jonathan and all his servants to kill David, but Jonathan liked David very much. So he warned David, "My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Watch out in the morning. Hide in a secret place. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are hiding, and I'll talk to him about you. Then I'll let you know what I find out." When Jonathan talked to Saul, his father, he said good things about David. Jonathan said, "The king should do no wrong to your servant David, since he has done nothing wrong to you. What he has done has helped you greatly. David risked his life when he killed Goliath the Philistine, and the Lord won a great victory for all Israel. You saw it and were happy. Why would you do wrong against David? He's innocent. There's no reason to kill him." Saul listened to Jonathan and then made this promise: "As surely as the Lord lives, David won't be put to death." So Jonathan called to David and told him everything that had been said. He brought David to Saul, and David was with Saul as before. When war broke out again, David went out to fight the Philistines. He defeated them, and they ran away from him. But once again, an evil spirit from the Lord rushed upon Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand. David was playing the harp. Saul tried to pin David to the wall with his spear, but David jumped out of the way. So Saul's spear went into the wall, and David ran away that night. Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch it and to kill him in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, warned him, saying, "Tonight you must run for your life. If you don't, you will be dead in the morning." So she let David down out of a window, and he ran away and escaped. Then Michal took an idol, laid it on the bed, covered it with clothes, and put goat's hair at its head. Saul sent messengers to take David prisoner, but Michal said, "He is sick." Saul sent them back to see David, saying, "Bring him to me on his bed so I can kill him." When the messengers entered David's house, they found just an idol on the bed with goat's hair on its head. Saul said to Michal, "Why did you trick me this way? You let my enemy go so he could run away." Michal answered Saul, "David told me if I did not help him escape, he would kill me." After David had escaped from Saul, he went to Samuel at Ramah and told him everything Saul had done to him. Then David and Samuel went to Naioth and stayed there. Saul heard that David was in Naioth at Ramah, so he sent messengers to capture him, but they met a group of prophets prophesying, with Samuel standing there leading them. So the Spirit of God entered Saul's men, and they also prophesied. When Saul heard the news, he sent more messengers, but they also prophesied. Then he sent messengers a third time, but they also prophesied. Finally, Saul himself went to Ramah, to the well at Sikkim. He asked, "Where are Samuel and David?" The people answered, "In Naioth at Ramah." When Saul went to Naioth at Ramah, the Spirit of God also rushed upon him, and he walked on, prophesying, until he came to Naioth at Ramah. He took off his robes and prophesied in front of Samuel. He lay that way all day and all night. That is why people asked, "Is even Saul one of the prophets?" 1 Samuel chapter 20. Then David ran away from Naioth and Ramah. He went to Jonathan and asked, "What have I done? What is my crime? How did I sin against your father? Why is he trying to kill me?" Jonathan answered, "No, you won't die. See, my father doesn't do anything great or small without first telling me. Why would he keep this from me? It's not true." But David took an oath, saying, "Your father knows very well that you like me. He says to himself, 'Jonathan must not know about it, or he will tell David. As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I am only a step away from death.'" Jonathan said to David, "I'll do anything you want me to do." So David said, "Look, tomorrow is the new moon festival. I am supposed to eat with the king, but let me hide in the field until the third evening. If your father notices I am gone, tell him David begged me to let him go to his hometown of Bethlehem. Every year at this time, his family group offers a sacrifice. If your father says, fine, I am safe, but if he becomes angry, you will know that he wants to hurt me. Jonathan, be loyal to me, your servant. You have made an agreement with me before the Lord. If I am guilty, you may kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father? Jonathan answered, no, never. If I learn that my father plans to hurt you, I will warn you. David asked, who will let me know if your father answers you unkindly? Then Jonathan said, come, let's go out into the field. So the two of them went out into the field. Jonathan said to David, I promise this before the Lord, the God of Israel. At this same time, the day after tomorrow, I will find out how my father feels. If he feels good toward you, I will send word to you and let you know. But if my father plans to hurt you, I will let you know and send you away safely. May the Lord punish me terribly if I don't do this, and may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father, but show me the kindness of the Lord as long as I live, so that I may not die. You must never stop showing your kindness to my family, even when the Lord has destroyed all your enemies from the earth. So Jonathan made an agreement with David. He said, may the Lord hold David's enemies responsible. And Jonathan asked David to repeat his promise of love for him, because he loved David as much as he loved himself. Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon festival. Your seat will be empty, so my father will miss you. On the third day, go to the place where you hid when this trouble began. Wait by the rock Ezel. On the third day, I will shoot 3 arrows to the side of the rock as if I am shooting at a target. Then I will send a boy to find the arrows. If I say to him, the arrows are near you, bring them here, you may come out of hiding. You are safe. As the Lord lives, there is no danger. But if I say to the boy, look, the arrows are beyond you, you must go, because the Lord is sending you away. Remember what we talked about. The Lord is a witness between you and me forever. So David hid in the field. When the new moon festival came, the king sat down to eat. He sat where he always sat, near the wall. Jonathan sat across from him, and Abner sat next to Saul, but David's place was empty. That day Saul said nothing. He thought, maybe something has happened to David so that he is unclean. But the next day was the second day of the month, and David's place was still empty. So Saul said to Jonathan, why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the feast yesterday or today? Jonathan answered, David begged me to let him go to Bethlehem. He said, let me go, because our family has a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there. Now, if I am your friend, please let me go to see my brothers. That is why he has not come to the king's table. Then Saul became very angry with Jonathan. He said, you son of a wicked, worthless woman. I know you are on the side of David, son of Jesse. You bring shame on yourself and on your mother who gave birth to you. As long as Jesse's son lives, you will never be king or have a kingdom. Now send for David and bring him to me. He must die. Jonathan asked his father, why should David be killed? What wrong has he done? Then Saul threw his spear at Jonathan, trying to kill him. So Jonathan knew that his father really wanted to kill David. Jonathan was very angry and left the table. That second day of the month, he refused to eat. He was ashamed of his father and upset over David. The next morning, Jonathan went out to the field to meet David as they had agreed. He had a young boy with him. Jonathan said to the boy, run and find the arrows I shoot. When he ran, Jonathan shot an arrow beyond him. The boy ran to the place where Jonathan's arrow fell, but Jonathan called, the arrow is beyond you. Then he shouted, hurry, go quickly, don't stop. The boy picked up the arrow and brought it back to his master. The boy knew nothing about what this meant. Only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and told him, go back to town. When the boy left, David came out from the south side of the rock. He bowed face down on the ground before Jonathan 3 times. Then David and Jonathan kissed each other and cried together, but David cried the most. Jonathan said to David, go in peace. We have promised by the Lord that we will be friends. We said, the Lord will be a witness between you and me and between our descendants always. Then David left, and Jonathan went back to town.
The Book of John.
My name is John. I was an eyewitness to most of the things I write about. I wrote this account to show that faith in Jesus' divinity and power can save people. Other religions and philosophies cannot mix with faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the eternal Son of God, and that only through faith in Him can the renewing power of the Spirit of God save people.
Chapter 1.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was already with God in the beginning. Everything came into existence through Him. Not one thing that exists was made without Him. He was the source of life, and that life was the light for humanity. The light shines in the dark, and the dark has never extinguished it. God sent a man named John to be His messenger. John came to declare the truth about the light so that everyone would become believers through his message. John was not the light, but he came to declare the truth about the light. The real light, which shines on everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into existence through him. Yet the world didn't recognize him. He went to his own people, and his own people didn't accept him. However, he gave the right to become God's children to everyone who believed in him. These are people who haven't been born in a physical way from a human impulse or from a husband's desire to have a child. Their birth was from God. The Word became human and lived among us. We saw His glory. It was the glory that the Father shares with His only Son, a glory full of kindness and truth. John declared the truth about Him when he said loudly, "This is the person about whom I said, 'The one who comes after me was before me because he existed before I did.'" Each of us has received one gift after another because of all that the Word is. The teachings were given through Moses, but kindness and truth came into existence through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God's only Son, the one who is closest to the Father's heart, has made Him known. This was John's answer when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John didn't refuse to answer. He told them clearly, "I'm not the Messiah." They asked him, "Well, are you Elijah?" John answered, "No, I'm not." Then they asked, "Are you the prophet?" John replied, "No." So they asked him, "Who are you? Tell us so that we can take an answer back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I'm a voice crying out in the desert, 'Make the way of the Lord straight,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Some of those who had been sent were Pharisees. They asked John, "Why do you baptize if you're not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Someone you don't know is standing among you. He's the one who comes after me. I'm not worthy to untie his sandal strap." This happened in Bethany on the east side of the Jordan River where John was baptizing. John saw Jesus coming toward him the next day and said, "Look, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I spoke about when I said, 'A man who comes after me was before me because he existed before I did.' I didn't know who he was. However, I came to baptize with water to show him to the people of Israel." John said, "I saw the Spirit come down as a dove from heaven and stay on him. I didn't know who he was, but God, who sent me to baptize with water, had told me, 'When you see the Spirit come down and stay on someone, you'll know that person is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen this and have declared that this is the Son of God." The next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. John saw Jesus walk by. John said, "Look, this is the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard John say this, they followed Jesus. Jesus turned around and saw them following him. He asked them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Jesus told them, "Come and you will see." So they went to see where he was staying and spent the rest of that day with him. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two disciples who heard John and followed Jesus. Andrew at once found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, "You are Simon, son of John. Your name will be Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. He found Philip and told him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the man whom Moses wrote about in his teachings and whom the prophets wrote about. He is Jesus, son of Joseph, from the city of Nazareth." Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Philip told him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and remarked, "Here is a true Israelite who is sincere." Nathanael asked Jesus, "How do you know anything about me?" Jesus answered him, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael said to Jesus, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than that." Jesus said to Nathanael, "I can guarantee this truth. You will see the sky open and God's angels going up and coming down to the Son of Man."